Robbie Cornthwaite here, bringing you a taste of my weekly podcast on the Keep Up Audio Network, the Players Podcast. This week on the show, I spoke to two A-League legends, Josh Rose and Eric Partaloo. Funnily enough, it goes under the radar. Melbourne City haven't actually missed the final since they became Melbourne City. When they changed from Heart to City in 2014, when you were there, Eric, they haven't missed the finals since then. So four grand finals in the last 4 years. It took them a little bit of a time to get there. Have you seen any difference between the early days of City and the latter days? Is it just the foundation that's built now over the past sort of 9 or 10 years?
Yeah, absolutely. The foundation wasn't set when we were there. We were transitioning out of being a club that was, you know, small-minded, you know, without being disrespectful, trying to be small-minded, just being a part of the A-League, being very much the smaller brother in Melbourne to the Victory Boys. And they've slowly, gradually built their reputation. You know, they spend a lot of money, let's be honest about that, whether or not that's into players' salaries or it's the actual behind-the-scenes stuff that they've actually put in their sports science, the doctors, the training. And you can see the squad now they've got is very competitive, very hard to beat. But in terms of having to get success year in, year out, guys like Jamie McLaren, Scotty Jamison, they've been there for quite a few years now. And they've got all the right ingredients down there. But I think Ferrado Vidicic has got a big challenge this week going into the grand final and playing against a team that's got a community right behind them. There's still that question mark for Melbourne City. Have they got, you know, the supporters? Have they got that fan base, that community feel? I think they're still trying to build that.
You mentioned there the small mind mentality, which, you know, whether it's true or not is for other people to judge. But what was it like, the feeling when you went there in 2014? You had an offer to go to Newcastle as the marquee. You went to City because, you know, they were ambitious and wanted to be successful. Was there a real buzz around the players and the club at that time?
Yeah, I mean, it was a transition for sure. We were in demountables training, waiting for our, training ground to get built. And on the flip side, we had David Villa coming in to training and you know, thinking he was going to be there for 10 games, only stayed for four. I think he saw the demountables and all the, you know, temporary training set up and he said, that's enough for me. I'll just spend four weeks here. But the guys we had at the club, you know, Damien Duff and Sorensen, Robbie Corrin, Keith Norber, Aaron Moy, Navio, I mean, there was just so many big names at that time, but they certainly had that transition period. And then once they became recognised as being the best facilities, you know, doing things the right way, sports science at a different level, people wanted to go there and they wanted to be in Melbourne, obviously. And I think they now are the premier, you know, football club that every young player wants to go to because of the network they have as well.
Josh, you obviously went there a couple of years after Eric. You two didn't quite cross paths, but was your experience a little bit similar or do you think they'd slowly moved steps forward by 2016?
Yeah, no, definitely. Look, the biggest thing I found, and, you know, it was fascinating for me to go from Central Coast Mariners to Melbourne City. One thing I wanted to do was experience a different club, and it definitely was a different club in all aspects, from finance to culture to, you know, to the players around you and everything. But I think in the early days, as Eric mentioned, they did spend a lot of money and I thought that that would bring them instant success. And I felt when I went there, they, you know, I looked around, the players in our change room was absolutely incredible for me to see that. And we lacked a little bit of culture. We lacked a little bit of unity, which I think, in Australia, it gives you so much momentum going forward. I think what they've done well, City, was bringing in someone like Paddy Kisnorbo as coach and then Gemmo as a captain. I think with those two together, along with the finances and the structures all in place, then they bring that culture into their group. And since then, you can see that the success has come in leaps and bounds. And I think, as Eric said, Rado's done a good job in the last 6 months or so to help steady that ship. And I think just continue that culture a little bit. You can see their attacking four as well is extremely good. And I think Rado touched on it earlier in the year that he lets them play with a little bit of freedom as well because they are a very structured unit with their style of play and things like that. But players like Tilio and those guys, they really excite when they're allowed to that little bit of extra freedom, which I think they've shown this year.
Tilly obviously is an excitement factor. I think I've got my timeline right. Was Daniel Azani and Tim Cahill in the team when you were there, Josh? And what was it like to play with someone like Tim and a young Daniel Azani?
Yeah, look, like I said, when I first got the interest to go there, I remember I was taking my boys to school that morning, and my oldest boy looked a bit upset because obviously the talk was I would go there and the family would stay on the coast. And he looked a bit upset. I said to him, look, I'll come back as much as I can. But he said, no, Dad, look, when you get me a City jersey, I don't know if I want to get Cahill's name on the back. I'm not sure I want to get Rose on the back. Or Fornaroli was flying at the time, you know, as well. Yeah. He'd had a fantastic season with Aaron Moy. So yeah, I don't know if I want Fornaroli or Cahill. I said, oh, look, if that's your biggest worry, mate, I'll get you one of both. You don't have to get Rose on the back. But yeah, it was incredible. And Azani was a young lad then. He was really good, you know, really, really good prospect. I hope he can turn things around. But, yeah, it was a lot of talent in the change room at the time. So it was really good to go and learn off these guys, even at my age, at that older age.
Well, as I mentioned, you two were nearly teammates at that time, but you just didn't quite cross paths. You did cross paths playing against each other, most notably in one of the most famous games in A-League history, the 2011 Grand Final, 0-0. After 90 minutes, Central Coast Mariners went 2-0 up in extra time through goals from Kwasnik and Bozanic before this man over here. You can see Eric, he's just sort of pondering this one. The slippery fish Enrique made it 2-1, and then in the dying stages, 120th minute, the big Eric Pardaloo rose for a header. I mean, Eric, when you think back, well, I mean, what immediately comes to mind when you think back to that game?
Ah, it's a classic. Absolute classic. And I think in terms of, you know, being so many years ago, it still brings back memories, and people have one or two great moments in their career, or they're lucky to have one great moment in their career or something they can go back to and actually feel for. And it's certainly that moment for me, obviously. And it was a great way to end the season, particularly started off so well. A new bunch of boys put together. Everybody had something to prove, players, the coach. Don't forget the season before, I think Brisbane Roar finished last. So it was a massive turnaround for that club. And to win it the way we won it, yeah, it was really unlucky for the Mariners. I don't think they deserved to lose that game because they started off really well and went going 2-0 up. I think we just had that extra belief to get across the line. And then penalty shootout, anything can happen. But yeah, it's something that I'm very proud of. I was very lucky. It was a corner. Let's be honest about that. But I'm proud and I'm happy that I had that moment for sure.
Obviously you wouldn't change that moment for the world, but did anything else ever live up to that moment for the rest of your career?
No, it's funny, Robbie, because the whole of the off season, I spent thinking about it and, yeah, my life kind of changed when I was, you know, a week later going up to Noosa for a holiday and someone stopped me in the street and said, oh, you scored that goal last week. And I was like, oh, okay. You actually know what football is up here in Noosa? So that was quite funny. But yeah, I think nothing really got close to it. I mean, I scored goals and won titles elsewhere, but to do it in those circumstances, nothing comes close. But as a professional, as you know, Robbie, when you do something like that, you just got to try and wipe it clean and move forward. So don't really go back and watch it and think about it. It's just... it's nice when it pops up from time to time.
Well, you didn't have to wait long to have another special feeling going back-to-back the season after. How was that championship and that win different?
Well, I'm not just saying it because Rosie's here, but, you know, Mariners, again, pushed us the whole way. And they won the league that year, won the premiership, and we fell short. And they were our closest rivals. But going 36 games unbeaten was a record that we weren't really conscious of until game 28, game 29. Had a lot of draws in that time, but we were unbeatable for that long. And I remember that, you know, winning that game, I think it was against Perth, was 5-0 at home, smashed the record. And then the next five games in a row, we lost. We went five games. Sydney FC, we lost 2-0 to them or 2-1. And the following four after that. And then we somehow regathered ourselves and went on to go back to back. What do I remember about that period? It was just kind of about consistency. You got into a routine and you just didn't want to stop playing football. And when you're a part of a good team, you just don't want to stop playing. Let the next game to come. And then Ange left at the end of that season. And I think that was kind of a bit of a heartbreaker for all of us, but a reminder But here in the A-League, and especially in football, nothing lasts forever. So 2 or 3 years at maybe one club is enough.
Josh, that 2011 grand final obviously would have been shattering for you guys. Do you remember being in the change rooms after the game and what was said?
Yeah, not much was said, to be honest. I think it was one of those moments, Arnie. He didn't really have too much to say. I don't think anything can pick you up after moments like that. But, for me personally, I don't know. It was a really strange feeling. I remember 12 months earlier, I'd left Romania, and I don't even think I had a contract watching the A-League Grand Final 12 months earlier. And I just think to myself, oh, it'd be great to get there one day. So to be there 12 months later, for me, it was just a grateful moment to be there originally. To lose it the way we did obviously hurt, but I think I was just grateful to be there in the end and to experience the week, the day, the lead up, everything about the grand final. Obviously, we're coming up against a Raw team that had an incredible belief. I look back and go, you know what, at the end of the day, something like that happens, they were just destined to win. That's just the way it goes. You know, they never gave up. So the way I took it after the game, and the way someone like a Hutch or a Wilco took it, who it was their third grand final loss, was a little bit different. To them, it was absolutely devastating. Whereas I was obviously devastated, but a little bit grateful that I'd even have the opportunity to be there that day. So, they're all learning moments. So I coach a lot of kids these days, and, you know, you use those moments as learning moments, and that's all you can do really afterwards. Learn from it and move on. As Eric said, you know, those moments are past, and you just got to look to the future after that.
Well, the future was pretty bright for the Central Coast Mariners, because two seasons later, you would claim the first championship for the club. Daniel McBreen missed the penalty in the shootout against Brisbane. He scored one in that game and did his famous antlers celebration. What was that moment like? Did it make it all that much sweeter after the defeat in 2011?
Yeah, it definitely did. I think... getting to the next one, obviously had been there before, a lot of us had, and then we really wanted to win that one. And I bring it back to belief, obviously the Raw team had gone on that amazing run, so they had the belief. We were there to try. I think against Wanderers in that grand final, we really believed we could do it. Wanderers beat us to the premiership. They were an incredible team, and at the end of the day, Arnie just got us up for that game, and we got the job done, which was fantastic in the end.
If you enjoyed what you heard today, remember to tune in to the Players Podcast every Wednesday. To never miss an episode, simply search the Players Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from. My name is Robbie Cornthwaite. Thanks for tuning in, and as always, enjoy the football.